I'm trying to lead the sheep. So if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. And now that you got that, hold your finger right there and go over to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. Proverbs 18:15 says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to Timothy, a young preacher that he had, brought up to the Lord and through the Lord. And 2 Timothy 2:15, he tells that young preacher in verse 15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God."
Amen.
A workman. You see that? A workman.
Yes.
Studying's work. Learning's work. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. About what? Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
As believers, we all must attend. And, well, as unbelievers, everybody in this life will attend the University of Life.
Amen.
And today I want to talk to you about that. The university we must all attend. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't the easy ones that gives you checks instead of A's and B's, It's the hard one. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved." Proverbs says we ought to get wisdom and we ought to learn. Now, like it or not, now listen to me, young people. You think you're the only one that goes to school. You hadn't even started yet.
Amen.
Like it or not, we all attend school every day. Every day we attend school. It never ends. As long as we live, we will attend that school. You will either learn the lessons or you will ignore the lessons, but that will not change the lessons. Every saint and every sinner is learning in life's college every day. When I was 18, I knew everything. If you didn't believe it, all you had to do was ask me. I'd have told you. And the older I get, the dumber I get. And young people, that's not meant to be funny. That's meant to be truth. Amen. Amen. Did you know saints have one textbook, the Word of God?
Amen.
The inspired, infallible, God-breathed, and in the English language, we believe that to be the old King James Bible. Been around over 400 years. Others have come and gone. But that's like new math and new improved math, and two and two still four, and four still eight. I don't care how many times you try to change the math, and the Word of God changes not. Saints have one textbook. One. That's the only book that we're required to study. He told Timothy, study to show thyself approved of God.
Yes.
Most Christians do not study, but that's your textbook. Whether you pass this Christian life test or not is all in that textbook. Whether you do it easy or you do it hard, it takes you long, it takes you short, you're successful, you're a failure, it's all in that textbook. One textbook, that's all we've got. Now the sinner has many books. A lost sinner searching everywhere in all kind of places. Most of them's on the internet now.
Yes.
Most of them's on a phone or an iPad or a computer. They just believe anything is thrown at them.
Yeah.
But if you're going to teach me something, you're going to have to prove it by the infallible Word of God.
Amen.
Men's textbooks change every day. You ask my wife, here's my daughter, they teach school. Rachel teaches school. Every year a new salesman comes by with new books. And they change every day. And you don't know what's right and what's wrong. Unless you really study what they're talking about, which most people will not. Most of you take whatever comes across that TV, you take it as truth. Yeah, you do. If some preacher comes on there and says, I got this little rag I'm going to send you for $10, and I prayed over it, you're going to get well if you send me 10 to a... If you pray, hey, if you'll send 1,000, you'll get well and get a house. Sinners have many textbooks. And by the way, there's always been sinners that were anti-Bible. This is not a new thing. And look, there's just a few things that I want to help you with, okay? Just a few things I want to help all of. Saint and sinner alike. When you went to school, now some of you kids went into high school and some have even went to college and some of you went to jail, but when you go to school, once you get out of elementary school, there are required courses that you must take. You remember the first time you went to junior high and they had all these required courses and you sitting there saying, well, I don't like to take that. I thought I was going to get a chore. So I don't like that. I ain't no good at that. But they were required. You must do it. English, history, math, on and on. Some courses you didn't like. But everyone was a must do.
That's right.
Now, when you went to college, it was the same way. I didn't go to liberal arts college. I got my GED, and then later on went to Bible college. But even in Bible college, there were must courses. You know what the first course I had to take in Bible college? English. I said, why am I taking English? I'm real good at English. I read very well. I write very well. And the teacher said, you must read English real well and understand it to read an English Bible. So we want to make sure you know English before you start reading the Bible. And by the way, they did teach me some things. Now, that's required. Now, there are certain things in this world that's required. In this college of life that we're in, there are some things that are required, and some of them we do not like. I don't like them. But you got to take them in order to graduate. And every person in this room, saint or sinner, you are in the college of life right now. And you are doing things that are required of you. And everybody has to do it. I don't care if you're a successful CEO or you live in your mom and daddy's basement playing video games. These things you're going to have to do.
Yes.
Come on, help me here.
Amen.
These things you're going to have to do. You're scared to help me because you're afraid of what I might say they are. Amen. Number one, turn to 3 John. There's only one book in 3 John. Verse 2. 3 John. Verse 2. And for the sake of your lunch, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. 3 John, verse 2, only one chapter. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, if this is a spiritual book, why would he mention health? Because health has something to do with illness or wellness. In this life, illness is a required course. No one in this room will get out of this life unless you, well, if you're over, well, even children go through illness. No one in this room is going to get through this life and go through this study of life, this college of life, I'm calling it. No one will do that without being ill sometimes. Amen. As hard as we study and try to avoid illness, it's coming. Well, I take these herbs and I take these vitamins and I go to the gym and I work out and I jump rope and I run this and I do that. It's coming. It's coming. It is a required course. Sometimes it's caused by others. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands.
Amen.
Don't pick your nose, keep your hands out of your mouth. Sometimes it's caused by others. You get around sick people, it jumps on you. You got it. Can't help it. But you know what? Sometimes it's caused by self. Now, I just, not too long ago, turned 65. I got to go do my Medicare checkup. I hadn't had that kind of checkup since I was 18 years old. And it was embarrassing. I'm glad I know my doctor very well. He talks to me and I talk to him. But it is a required course. You will get sick. You live in a sin-cursed body. The curse of sin is on that body. And listen, every germ and every virus wants you dead. That's their job and that's what they're working at. And you're going to get sick. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Number two, another. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. 2 Corinthians. Well, I thought you were going to preach the Bible. I am. That's in the Bible. I just read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing..." You turn that one off. "For this thing," I'm not going to move around much. Look at it. "I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart. And he said unto me..." This one ain't working, is it? Turn that one off. I ain't going to move much. I'm sorry, y'all. "I sought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul himself, called of God, the apostle to the Gentiles, had sickness. Amen? He had sickness. It was required. But God, through his word, gave him the assurance that he was in his sickness. Did you know God's in our sickness? If you're a believer, if all things work together for the good of them that love God, your sickness is good for you. Now, it may not feel good to you, but it's for the glory of God. Somehow, some way, we don't understand that. And some of you are suffering serious sicknesses right now. That is a required course. He had an infirmity. But his learning that course taught him to draw nearer to God. And your sickness, your illness will make you draw nearer to God. Now, I love my doctor. I love that man. Don't mess with him. I'll slap you in Jesus' name. I love that man. He's good to me. He explains things. And we sit there and we talk. He prayed for me one time when I hurt my spine. He laid hands on me and prayed for me. I don't mess with my doctor, okay? But God used that for his glory and my goodness, okay? Now, he teaches us that we're weak and we're frail and we don't have much strength. And he teaches us our youth fades. You might wake up feeling like you're 18, but you don't look like you're 18, and you can't do what 18 can do. Amen. Amen. You might wake up being 18, but you're not invincible. Amen. Amen. And he teaches us that we're mortal, and we age, and in the end, sickness, illness will win the battle. Nobody's going out of here alive unless the trumpet sounds. Amen. Come on, some of you old frail people ought to be shouting. Amen. Amen. Here's another one. Number two, hard work. 2 Thessalonians. Man, I let that one slip. I should have read you the scripture first. You wouldn't have turned me off. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "For even when we were without you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." But now, Pastor, I thought you were a Christian. I drove up to a guy with one of those signs one day. It looked pretty well to me. I don't know everything, can't see everything, but he had a sign, we'll work for food. So I thought, well, I'm going to tell him, I know where he can get some work. So I pulled up there and said, come over here. We got over there. And I said, look, down there at the church, we got a couple rooms need painting. I'll give you $50 a room. Oh, I can't do that. I got a bad back. I said, your sign said I work for food. He said, I will, but I can't do that. I said, you need to quit lying. He ain't going to work. But the Bible says hard work is a required course, and there are few exempt from that. My sister Essie's sitting in a wheelchair. She can't do a whole lot. She can pray. Is this loud enough? Can y'all hear me? She can pray. She probably prays for me better than most of the healthy people in this room. But she can't paint a wall. She can't. And there are limitations on some people. But most people, there are no limitations. If laziness is a disease, there's a bunch of people dying.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says, not Ron Ronnie, the Bible says if a man or a woman won't work, they shouldn't eat. You say, well, she's a housekeeper. She stays at home with her children. I said, well, what do you call that? That's the hardest work I ever did. I got 4 grandchildren. If I had to stay at home with them, I'd go stark raving mad. I got one that's grown, but the other 4, I'm, woo, can I whip him? My daughter told me the other day, I said, can I whip him? She said, that's not your job. Well, it's the truth. It ain't. Amen. It's her job. But listen, we, as God put us on this world so that we would work and take care of the things and the people that he was good enough to give us.
Amen.
You know, I read this somewhere. Some people do so little work. When they leave this world, they'll leave a no vacancy in their position because there was nothing there to fill. You know what I'm talking about. We're not saved by good works, but it is a good sign. It's a good uniform to wear. Amen. I mean, if you're in the Army, you wear Army. Navy wears Navy. I don't know why anybody would wear a Marine, but we have some of those too.
Right.
But we're not saved. But when people see you working, they think, well, there's a good man. There's a good woman, whether they're saved or not. It's a required course. And by the way, you ought not eat if you don't work. Unless you're disabled. I know somebody's going to come out of here and get on Facebook or something. Preacher thinks that disabled people shouldn't eat. That's a lie. I didn't say that, okay? Look at Romans 14:7. Hurry, Romans 14:7. I said, one course is illness. The other one is hard work. Now, there's a few people that are born rich. They don't have to work hard, but they have to work hard to keep it.
Right.
You know how it is. If people don't have it, they work hard to get it. And people that's got it work hard to keep it.
Right.
Amen. Romans 14:7. Nothing wrong with being rich as long as you don't worship it. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now, what does that mean, preacher? Well, another required course is, in this world, one of them is illness. One of them is hard work. Another one is day-to-day contact with other people. That's a required course. You better learn how to get along with people. No man liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. Another way said was, no man is an island. Everybody's life touches somebody else's life. You got this big circle of people that you influence and you know, and they influence you. And no man, no woman can live absolutely alone. And if they do, there's something wrong with them. Really, think about that. Now, I don't like a lot of noise and going on, you know, but I'd love to be around my grandkids if they'd just be quiet. The reason you need to study that is it learn. Hey, this learning will teach you how to be better, be a better person. And it'll also teach you to be a better influence on other people. Well, I don't need no friends. Yeah, you do. And if you don't today, you will one day, because illness is still in your studies. And then I'll go on to the elective courses. Now, these are things at school when they went. Young people, look up at me. These are things at school that you went down that list. They gave you that list at school, you know. Or if it's a college, it's called a catalog. And you go down that, well, I got to take that. Wait a minute, here's some things I can elect to take. I don't have to take them. My best, I made the best grades on this one. Study hall. I always did good in study hall. Real good. Teacher liked me. Everybody in there liked me. And besides that, when I didn't do my homework the night before, which I never did, I could do it that morning in study hall. But that ain't on this list. Amen. Now, there are some elective courses. Every school has them. You get to choose, but choose wisely. You get to choose. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're talking about spiritual, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. And by the way, if a boy or girl in your family goes to college and they elect philosophy, you need to go ahead and shoot them. They're not going to be worth anything. Philosophy. That's the guy that just can't quite find a job to fit him. And he likes your money. And your table. And your heat. And your air conditioning. And he can philosophize and tell you why he has the right to do that. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at it with me. And verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. That's your boss man. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto who?
Christ.
I used to go apply for jobs, and I've worked as much in my ministry as I did out. I've never had a giant church, and probably since 1983, being ordained, I've probably had what they considered, or anybody considered, a full-time salary. It might have been 10 years out of that. Most of the time I had to work a job into it. And sometimes I got nothing, sometimes I got a little. And so I've always, until y'all took me on, I always had to work and pastor a church. So I've had to do all kinds of things. And I learned some things through that. Number one, this is what I learned. When I went to apply for a job anywhere, they would say, what shift do you require? Any. What salary do you require? Any. What position do you require? Any. And you get a job. Now you go making highfalutin demands and you'll just keep on hunting. Everybody starts at the bottom. Nobody starts at the top. But here's what I learned. They do an interview after that. They say, well, what makes you think that you would be an asset to our company or that you would be a good employee? And I would say, well, because I'm a Christian and I'm going to do everything as unto the Lord. And if I work to please Him, I'm going to work harder for Him than I would for you. Yeah. And they'd hire me. Now, that's what that means right there. We have to learn obedience to other people. Listen, some of you children, you could write this down. You ought to write it on the hand so every time you open your hand, you see it. Obedience. 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 Obedience, he told Saul, is better than sacrifice. Well, you don't know what I did for my parents, but did you obey them? Obedience is better than sacrifice. We used to sing that in children's church, and I'm not going to try now. I'm going to lose my voice, but we'd sing that song, you know, O-B-D-I-E-N-C-E. Yeah, obedience. And add a verse for every word. And but look, in the Christian life, and even in people that are not saved. If you don't learn obedience, you will end up struggling most of your life. Before I got saved, I couldn't get along with a boss man. I'd get mad and quit at the drop of a hat. And sometimes I'd drop the hat so I could quit. And I'd just walk out. I wouldn't say nothing. I'd just storm out like, I'm going to show you something. Yeah, I'm going to show him that I'm unemployed. Now I have no insurance. I have no 401k. I showed him. Now I got to go find a job and start all over at the bottom. Because I didn't want to be obedient. I thought there were things I knew more than he did. Though he had been there longer than me. Y'all get the picture?
Yes.
It's kind of like your kids. When you tell them to do something, they say, why? It's not for you to reason why. It's for you to either do or die. Amen? Obedience. It'll get you a long way. I told Red, he's my oldest grandson, and the boy's super smart. And I keep telling them they don't say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or thank you, or please when they ought to. And I'll stop them. I'll say, look, you don't understand. A polite demeanor and a smile, a please and a thank you, and a yes, ma'am, and a yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, sir. Listen, that'll get you a long way in this world. Amen. Sometimes you look at people, you say, I don't know how they got that job. They did it because they were obedient and they were polite and they got the job that you wanted, but you thought you knew more than everybody else and you wasn't ashamed to say it. I ain't going to do it that way. Well, go ahead, do it your way and you'll lose, you know, just like we did. But in the Christian life, we've already learned there's a order here. You choose to obey, or you choose to disobey. You've got the choice. You're a free agent. You can do whatever you want. Obey or not. And we make those choices every day. Every day we do that. Saved and lost people. And some of you already learned that. You know how you learned it? Your mom and daddy homeschooled you. I'm not talking about reading, writing, arithmetic. I'm talking about they taught you some things at home. They taught you how to be obedient at home. Amen? That way when you got down to school, the poor old teacher didn't have to argue and fuss with you all day long because you're so stinking hard-headed you didn't want to hear. And when you went to college, you didn't flunk out because you knew more than the professor did because you was homeschooled, you was raised right. You were taught at home some things. And people not teach their kids things at home anymore. You run them off down to church, you want to be church school, but then when they come home, they ain't nothing like church school. Come on, don't get mad now. Listen. And then others learned it like I did. On the job training. Trial and error. And most of those turned out wrong. I had to learn the hard way to be obedient and say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even when I disagreed with him. Yes, sir. Even when I knew it would do wrong, it would work out wrong. I knew it would work out wrong. It's my machine. I'd say, yes, sir. You're the boss. And when it come out the other end wrong, he'd say, what happened? I'd say, I just did what you told me to do. Well, you're a good man. Keep that up. Now, lost people, saved people can do that. But a Christian, God lets you choose. Think about this. Gideon chose right or wrong. Daniel chose right or wrong. Jeremiah did. Jonah did. Jonah chose the wrong one first. He didn't choose obedience, and God had to whip him into it. Now we get to do that. None of them thought it was an easy course. None of them. But we all know it produced future benefits that were out of this world. Those Bible stories. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Now, as Christians, we've got to choose right or wrong. If we don't, if we choose wrong, Hebrews chapter 6. Some of you have this one memorized. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse 6. He says this, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Amen.
It doesn't stop there. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, the good thing about this course, Christian can't fail it. Because we will obey one way or another. He says, well, I just don't agree with that. Doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not. If God said it, that settles it. Ladies, you listening to me? It ain't like Mama said, well, Grandma did a holler at you and say, if you don't quit, I'm going to whip you and then never whip you. It's written. It's written. He's going to whip you. And the reason he's going to whip you, if you go back and read the whole passage, is because he loves you. And then he goes on to say, a man that doesn't chasten his children does not love their children. And that doesn't always mean a beating, though some cases some of you probably really deserve a beating. The beating is the scourgeth. But discipline is when he sits you down and says, now this is right and this is wrong. And you did it wrong, and here is the results of your wrongdoing, and it ain't my fault, it's your fault, but if you ever do it again, it's going to be worse than that. So why don't we get this thing right? Now that's a class you got to take. If you've been saved, look, Christians, everybody here, if you're a Christian, listen to this. If you've been saved, you're going to get a whipping. Now, it used to be like that in people's house. If you had youngins, they got whippings. That was just part of raising them. Amen? Amen. Don't get in the road. Told you don't get in the road. Now you was in the road, get me a switch. And you knew it was coming. They knew they wasn't supposed to be in the road. They did it anyway. If he slams that screen door, some of these people ain't never had a screen door. They ain't never had a screen door. Some of these deprived children never seen a screen door. Slam! Mama said, I told you not to slam that screen door. Get over here. Give me that fly swatter. Next time you come in that screen door, you went. Amen. I think you just had a revelation. Amen. Hey, but look, Mama didn't whip you because she hated you. She whipped you because she loved you. Your dad didn't whip you. And he didn't discipline you because he hated you. He disciplined you probably because in his college of experience, he failed that too. And he doesn't want you to fail like he did. Amen? God, in his college of Christianity, he will chasten you. Every bit of it. Every one of us. There's not one child of his that's ever not got a chastening. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like whippings. I don't like them at all. And if I can get around it, I'm not going to get one. I'm going to avoid it. And now, everybody doesn't agree with me. They think that God blesses them and he'll never hurt them. He'll never chasten them and everything's going to be roses. But I guarantee you, if your mom and dad gives you everything you want, they're going to ruin you for the rest of your life. You got to learn what trouble and trial and all these things are. You got to learn what correction is. And the Lord corrects his children. And he doesn't do it because he hates you. He does it because he loves you. And if he doesn't do it, guess what he said? You're not a child of his. Now, I wanted to whip my neighbor's children. There's Tracy sitting back there. He was one of my neighbor's children. Grew up in our neighborhood. Now, I never wanted to whip Tracy, but I wanted to beat his brother's eyes out. I never did get mad at Tracy. But his brother, that was something else. Man. And some of them other neighbor boys. I kept out. But I didn't whip them. I'm not their father. Last one. Turn to Joshua 25:15. Most of you already know it. Most of you already know it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, in the Christian college of life, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. In the Christian College of Life, we have to learn what the lordship of Christ is, or either we're going to fall to the lordship of Satan, or maybe just the lordship of yourself. Here's the problem in the College of Life today that we live. Most people worship their self. And they don't care nothing about you. And you young people, listen to me. Those people that's enticing you, they don't care nothing about you. Hey, you know what they'll do? They'll use you up and throw you away, and you were fool enough to make them your Lord and to let them tell you what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And what you're doing, you thought you was making your own decision. You thought you was worshiping yourself, but really you was being led by somebody else. And then ultimately that falls into the lordship of Satan. He's the prince and the power of the air. He runs this place. Did you see news? Yeah, I know it. He's been doing that ever since day one. Did you see what happened in Uganda? Yeah, he's been doing that ever since he started. And do you know why he is the Lord of this world?
Yes.
Not this cement, not this building, not the trees, not the sun, the stars, the moon, but he's the Lord, he's the prince power of this government of this world. The way this world works, he's the Lord of that. Now, you can either... Now listen, this is one of your electives. You can let him be your Lord, and all those selfish, sinful, self-centered desires you have, he put them in there. He put them in you. You think you came up with that? People's been coming up with that since Eve. These young people, they said, well, we got a new thing. We call it vaping. If you're such a wimp, redneck, that you can't smoke pale males, there's something wrong with you. I got this little machine. It's a steam stack. It ain't even a smoke stack. I mean, if you're going to sin, go on and sin. Why would you want to vape? I'll tell you why, because they've been deceived that that's not that bad. It's not bad as smoking or lighting up a joint. They take that tick. See, y'all think old people don't know this stuff. See, we created cool. You ain't cool. We created cool in the 60s. You just come along. You don't know what dumb really looks like till you look at them old pictures that we was in. Amen. Amen. Them old movies. I look at them now and I say, oh man, I can't believe that's the way we were. There's nothing new under the sun. Your little vape ain't no different than smoking a pack of L&M cigarettes or a marijuana joint. You put your little THC in there and you get high. THC's been around since I was 14 years old. My goodness. Here's what's happening. You're letting somebody else run your life. That means that they are your Lord. They are your master. Now you can do that. That's your choice. This is an elective. You can choose it, and nobody's going to stop you. But Hebrews 9:27 says, but it's appointed. There's a but right there. But it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judge. So now you got to decide who I'm going to make my Lord, because that's going to determine my eternal destiny. Well, you're old, preacher, you're 65 years old. I haven't started yet, hardly. I'm going to live long as God lives. This is my launching pad. Amen. Now, you can choose... Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:10. I know I've gone over time, but the Methodist's already there. They'll be through by the time you get there. And be less people in the cafeteria wherever you go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. And some of you ain't come back, and I know you can't, so I'm going to help you while you're here. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Now that's saints. We die to self so he can be glorified.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's just one over. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hurry, you ain't listening fast enough. Look at verse 13 and 14. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That's talking about in your college of life, what you've done in your life. It'll be shown. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now there you are, Christian. In this college of life, when you get ready to graduate and go to the other side, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All our works are going to be brought out that we did after we accepted him as Lord, or we said we did. All of it will be laid out for everybody to see, and God will try it or test it with fire, the fire of his word, the fire of his judgment. And then whatever stands up to his lordship will get reward for.
Amen.
If it don't, though we're saved, we will not get that reward. It'll be burned up. Now that's the Christian's life. That's how the Christian life of college goes. And I get to go to graduation that day. And when I go, and he's going to try my works, and I'm going to lose some, I'm going to get some, but I'm still going to be saved because I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. My works don't save me. I get rewards for my... Now, sinner, let's look at yours. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11, 12, 14, 15. And I saw a great white throne in him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. It's all going to be rolled back. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened. Now, your books of your works are going to be opened first, why you did what you did. And the other book's going to open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, if you keep yourself, Lord, you let the world be your Lord. You let the devil be your Lord. When you walk across that stage, you're not getting a diploma. Because they're going to open books. One's going to be the Word of God. That's what you're going to be judged by. The Word of God, that book you got in your hand right there. The other's going to be your works that were recorded. He said, every idle word is going to be judged. Everything we do. Not for heaven, not to send you to heaven or hell, but to show you what you did. And then he's going to open up the book of life and he's going to say, Angel, look down there and see if you can find her name. Not here. Then those works will determine how badly you will be punished in hell. All unbelievers will go to hell. But you'll be judged by your works. Not whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. That's already determined, because he that hath not the Son hath not life, and he that hath the Son of God hath not life, has life. So it's already determined in this life. You chose the course. Lord or not Lord? Well, that's elective. I don't need